Let's move on. But God. But God, but God, but God. You know, in my days back in grade school and elementary school, you know, we used to do this little chart, and you'd break a sentence down into its parts, adverbs, nouns, conjunctions, right? So when this topic came to me, I looked at this word, but. You know, and as a lawyer, we look at words, because words have meaning. Words are placed in a place for a specific reason. Some of y'all have a tendency to read all over it and conclude before you even read the sentence. Amen. But. Yeah, you got it. But, you know, that word but, when you break it all down, is a conjunction. Well, and it is used to introduce a phrase or clause contrasting what has already been mentioned or said. That's that word but, right? It is in opposition to what previously came before it. Jason, are you with me, Jason? That's right. It is at variance with what came before it. It goes against what came before the word but. And so it is at odds with what was spoken or written before it. So spiritually, when you look at but God, it is a holy conjunction. Now that's important. It is a holy conjunction, and as one writer puts it, but God always appears after some statement of defeat or red alert emergency. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know, it is always after our human resources have been brought to their end and our circumstances have knocked us off our feet. And I believe that we as Christians would have no hope at all without these two words, but God. Because you see, the beginning of our hope is memorialized in a hymn that speaks remarkably about the power of but God. Y'all know it says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, that is but God, heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. But God, amen? But God. Y'all gonna get it in a minute, but God. It is the essence of being a Christian, that the wages of sin is death, but God, because of his love for us, rescued us from the penalty of sin, that being what? Death. That's that. Yeah. You with me. So in verse 19, it reads, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? And then he says in verse 20, listen carefully, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. Yeah. And isn't that what it says? So you see, my brothers and sisters, daddy is dead. And his brothers have made a request of Joseph to forgive them. So in essence, listen to me carefully, Joseph's past came face to face with his presence. And without the intervention of his father, he had to weigh his response. He had to choose a response based on death or choose a response based on hope or life. He had to choose a response based on vengeance or a response based on grace. And so as he was facing his brothers, he came to the conclusion that even though his dark past reminded him of his brother's efforts to kill him. It reminded him that even though his dark past reminded him of the cistern they threw him in, that even though his dark past reminded him of they selling him into slavery to the Egyptians, and that even though his dark past reminded him of the efforts that led him to being subjected to a lie by Potiphar's wife and thrown in jail, he was reminded that his present moment was contrasted to or in opposition to his past, and that was his but God moments that kept him during his darkest hours. It was his but God moments that kept him in his times of despair. It was his but God moments that kept him during a time of crisis. And I believe that after every crisis that Joseph found himself in, it was only his but God moments that prepared him for this moment. It was his but God moments in the midst of each crisis that reminded him, listen to me carefully, that there was divine intervention during some of the most difficult times in his life. And so I believe that Joseph came to realize that it was his but God moment that turned a cistern into a well that never runs dry. He came to realize that it was his but God moment that turned a lie into a stepping stone. He came to realize that it was his but God moment that turned a slave into a ruler. And he came to realize that his but God moment, that it was his but God moment that turned pain into joy. You see, Joseph came to realize that his but God moment turned darkness into light. He came to realize that it was his but God moments in his life that caused him to be victorious in the midst of his difficult times. And all he had was a but God to give him peace in the midst of the pain. It was the but God moments that put a sweet healing balm on the pain he experienced in the difficult times of his life. And Chris Carter writes it like this. He said, but God moments follow a time of despair or crisis, signifying a pivotal change brought about by divine intervention. They reveal God's ultimate authority and transformative power in seemingly hopeless situations. But God moments signify God's mercy, his deliverance, and his strength in adversity. I wish I had a witness in here. And so, and I don't know about you, but I'm crazy enough to believe that it is the but God moments in my life initiated by divine intervention that causes pivotal changes in my life that gives me hope. So these two words, but God, gives all of us hope amid the troubling days and nights we encounter during difficult times. And I wish I had at least one or two of you that could admit that we have had some difficult times. And my brothers and sisters, we are living in some difficult times in case you never experienced any, all right? So difficult times, our young people face various stresses in their lives. Academic pressure, social challenges, parental demands, navigating from youth to a teen, navigating from a teen to an adult, and uncertainty about the future, and so much so that the American Association of Medical Colleges report that from the year 2000 to the year 2020, black suicide rate amongst our teens increased a shocking 78%. And in a research study among our youngest children, ages 5 to 12, black kids are approximately 2 times more likely to die by suicide than their white counterparts. So I wish somebody understood that we are living in difficult times. Yes, difficult times. Our seniors, and we got some in here, don't we? I'm a senior. We are encountering different stresses in our own lives, health concerns, financial worries, the potential loss of independence, loneliness, loss of friends, loss of a spouse, hunger, homelessness, and debilitating pain or sickness that makes growing old challenging, to say the least. I got some pain, amen? And so difficult times. Many of us are encountering our own challenges in this world. We live in a world that seems harsh to our very existence. Being wronged at our jobs, destructive forces of immorality, greed, and power that have created forces of oppression and abuse that have been stoked by evil intentions, agendas, and behavior. We are faced with a populist and nationalist tirade based on ignorance against black and brown people of this country. Politically, we are faced with the building of a physical wall externally, and figuratively, we are faced with walls of color, faced with walls of language, faced with walls of economics, and faced with walls of sexuality internally. And my brothers and sisters, make America great again has become the racist mantra for make America white again. Politically, we are faced with politicians who spread hate and division rather than love and unity. We have neighbors who care more about themselves than their fellow man. Some leaders and preachers in our churches care more about themselves than the people they serve. We are living with a government that is becoming less and less responsive to people of all economic backgrounds and more responsive to those of greater economic backgrounds. The birth of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which showed some promise, now dead. Just as fast as it rose to prominence, white billionaires and their ancestors who benefited in multiple and various ways from racism and sexism and apartheid have made diversity, equality, and inclusion a dirty word because they, for some reason, believe that racism is dead and gone. You know, there's an old cigarette commercial that said, come and walk a mile in my shoes. And my brothers and sisters, if you were to ask them to trade 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour, or 1 day with you, they would refuse because they know the reality of the world that we live in. It is difficult times, and it's difficult times, but the great thing about it is, but God. So Pastor Wood and to my brothers and my sisters, our ultimate question, just like Joseph, probably asked in the middle of his difficulties, is whether we will survive the difficult and hard realities that we are facing. And I come before you on this Sunday morning to tell you that I have a resounding yes, because there is evidence in the words of Walter Brennan from the old 60s Western, those of you who are old enough, in the guns of Will Sonnet. Walter Brennan would always say at the end, am I better shooter than all of them? And that's no brag, just fact. And then what he said, he said, no brag, just fact. So throughout the Bible, there have been a testament of witnesses who, like Joseph, and ourselves who have experienced difficulties in their life and questioned whether they could survive or live through the difficulties they were experiencing and experienced in their life. Let's look at Abraham. Abraham, you remember Abraham. Abraham said of his wife Sarah, whenever they showed up, that she is my sister. And then Abimelech came of Gerar, sent for Sarah, and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. And what did Abimelech do? Abimelech restored Abraham's wife Sarah to him, and he received sheep, oxen, male servants, and female servants, but God. Yeah. Do I have a witness in here? Well, let's talk about David a little bit. You know, David in 1 Samuel, back in chapter 23, David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul and his men searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. Do I have a witness in here? But God. And even Jesus, my Savior himself, he was crucified, dead and buried. They killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Oh, but God, amen? But God, and Romans 5, 6 through 8, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, but God, amen? But God, and just like these witnesses and Joseph, we see evidence of God intervening in just the right time. In the midst of his believers' difficulties, he might not show up when we want him to, but he always shows up on time. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he is an on-time God. And I'm about to close. I'll come to say it, to sit down and get out your way, amen? And now, as I'm about to take my seat, and as you and I look back over our own lives, there have been times in our lives where our human resources and limits have been tested to the point of exhaustion. Do I have a witness in here? And our circumstances have appeared to knock us off our feet. And a code blue, y'all know what code blue is. A code blue has been sounded in the midst of our circumstances with the agony of defeat staring us in the face. And the curtain of hope is about to close, with our adversary prowling around to devour us and waiting on us to give up in our circumstances and give up on our God. And my brothers and sisters, it is at this moment that the Holy Spirit writes in bold letters, "But God," and our hopeless situation turns into victory. But God. But God. Yes. We all may be facing some difficulties in this life, and the difficulties may have caught you by surprise. But my brothers and sisters, God is never surprised. In fact, Jesus said in his own words in John 16 and 33, that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So in other words, but God. So it doesn't matter what difficulties you face in this world, there is hope. There is hope because there is a God who sits high and looks low. And just like but God showed up for all those other folk in the midst of their difficult situations, but God will show up in yours. Anybody here under the sound of my voice ever had some but God moments? I wish I had about two or three witnesses in the house who is willing to testify that but God, sickness but God, hungry but God, lonely but God, about to commit suicide but God, never promoted but God, walk out on but God, about to quit but God, about to throw in the towel but God. Yes, is there anybody here under the sound of my voice willing to testify that God can turn a no into a yes, that he can turn a can't into a can, that he can turn defeat into victory, that he can turn a stop into a go, and he can turn death into life? Oh, but God. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses in here who understand, but God. But God, but God, but God. You need to go to work this week, and when somebody tell you something negative, you just need to say, but God. And you don't even have to say it loud. Just say it to yourself. Just walk out of the room. When they tell you something negative, you just walk out in the hallway, and you're going back to your desk, and you can just take a little skip and a hop, say, but God. But God. Doctors giving you some bad words or some bad, doctors always want to prophesy over your life. But when the doctor gives you some bad words, you just say, but God. You know, Doc, I understand you've exhausted all your knowledge, you've exhausted all your technology, but God. But God. John Waller writes a song, and I'm finished. He writes a song, and I listen to it, and it's amazing because the title of the song is But God. He says, "I see darkness. They're getting darker. All hell is breaking loose. I see chaos all around us. So low, I'd cling to you. Don't matter if I'm surrounded by the devil and 1,000 men in the middle of the darkest hour, when I stand no chance. But God is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Though I'm surrounded, I won't be forsaken. God is my shield, and praise is my weapon. In the face of impossible odds, I will say, but God. But God. God bless you. God bless you.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.